Hey, it's our first movie review of 2018.
Yeah, I know. Burnt Offerings.
Yes. We're going back to the... We're doing more 70s stuff because I love this shit.
Yeah, I think that was 1976, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, the last one we did, The Legacy, which was also kind of a 70s haunted house kind of movie. This one also a similar type of thing. Probably, it's actually one of my favorite haunted house movies of the 70s, and I feel like it doesn't get, like, I guess it sort of has sort of a small cult following, but it doesn't get, like, the same love as a lot of the other 70s haunted house movies.
I remember seeing trailers for it when it came out, and the trailer scared me.
This is a very creepy movie, I think.
Yeah, the trailer scared me, and then when I ended up seeing it later on.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one. I like it.
Yeah, it's the interesting thing about it, it's kind of a slow burner.
Yeah.
You know, which I guess a lot of movies in the 70s were.
That's what it was.
But, you know, I feel like some people that, you know, are like kind of like, we need all this stuff to happen, you know, like might think it was kind of boring or something, because a lot of it's very subtle.
Yeah, I know. I had to have you with me to go, pay attention. You see that one? You see that? Remember when that happened? I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of little details.
Yeah, in the very beginning, and very subtle.
They don't really explain everything. They just kind of, like, leave subtle little hints that you're supposed to, like, kind of
you really have to pay attention to what you're being shown. And people aren't just saying anything. They're just showing it.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening and in the background and things like that.
Yeah.
With the house.
Yeah, so it's one of those kind of things where you really have to pay attention. Yeah. Now, one of the most interesting things I found about this movie... Now, it's actually based on a novel by Robert Marasco. And I read the novel many years ago because it was in, I don't know how many of you guys remember, Stephen King's nonfiction book called Dance Macabre, which was kind of like a series of essays about horror, about what scares you, about his favorite horror novels and things like that. And he had in the back, he had this big long list of what he thought were his favorite 100 horror novels from like the 20th century or, you know, pre-1980 or whatever. And I went through a period over a few years where I was trying to read as many of them as possible. Mm. So I did actually get around to reading Burnt Offerings by Robert Marasco. And it was written in 1973. I remember it was very similar to the movie. I think the end was a little bit different. I remember it being really good.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the interesting thing. This book and the subsequent film are very similar kind of theme to The Shining.
Yeah.
And... But the book came out before Stephen King's book, The Shining, came out. So, and Stephen King obviously really dug this book.
So because this may have inspired The Shining.
So this book might have been one of the things that inspired The Shining. Right. Now, I'm sure it's not the only thing because he's also come out and said, you know, Shirley Jackson's Haunting of Hill House was also a big influence on The Shining too. And you can kind of see that also if you read that book and see that movie as well. But this kind of theme of house as... living entity.
Yeah, I guess.
Or almost like a psychic vampire.
Yeah.
That kind of aspect pretty much comes from this.
Yeah, or was the ghost kind of merged? Was the house kind of merged with a ghost? Too?
Yeah.
It could have been that, too.
Haunting of Hill House kind of has that, too.
And Shining was kind of like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So these are all kind of...
At least the movie, not so much the book.
Yeah, these are all kind of like similar kind of things. But I think one of the best things about Burnt Offerings... is the cast.
Yeah, all-star cast.
I love the cast of this movie. It is so awesome.
Yeah.
You got Oliver Reed as the dad.
And this dude, you know, Oliver Reed's like this big, kind of tough-looking British dude. And when I was a kid, I always saw him as like one drink away from whipping your ass. That's
which
the way he
which
came
was probably the case.
He's kind of like a Michael, kind of like Michael Caine, but Michael Caine, he had a different kind of intimidating factor. You know, Michael Caine was kind of a little bit more of a intense. This guy was more like physically imposing. There was something about him. He kind of looked like a big. He kind of reminds me like a big Bruce Dickinson with short hair. You know, and Bruce Dickinson's not a big dude. He's about my size, but he looks like he's like a big Bruce Dickinson. That's the way he always. You know, came across.
Oliver Reed, and I think I said this to you when we were rewatching the movie a couple days ago. I'm like, he's so meaty. He's like a big pork roast.
Oh, shit. He's not fat, though. He's not
fat. No, it's not fat. It's just like a... Yeah.
It kind of gorilla-like.
I think I only noticed it because he's shirtless a lot in this.
Yeah.
Although, wasn't there another movie where Oliver Reed wrestled a guy, like, naked?
I don't know.
What movie was that?
And they had sexy-ass Karen Black.
I love that, Karen Black, yeah. You guys. I love Karen
and
Black.
She was sexy all the way out into the 90s, the 2000s, too.
Yeah. Because she was in some Rob Zombie movies.
Yeah, she still looked good. She was she held her own for a long time.
She's so cool because she's so weird looking. And she always plays like these kind of like...
She's like kind of like the mutant Barbara Eden.
The
Barbara Eden gone
bad. But there's
something
very cool and like very compelling about her.
Yeah.
And if you guys, like, if you really like Karen Black like I do, I uncovered this really cool like TV movie from the late 70s called The Strange Possession of Mrs. Oliver. And Karen Black is in it. And I think it was written by Richard Matheson, actually. Yeah. And I just kind of stumbled across it one day on YouTube. It used to be. And it's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Karen Black is in this. She plays the mom.
Yeah.
Betty Davis is in this.
Yeah.
She plays Oliver Reed's aunt.
Yeah, cool old lady.
She's like a cool old lady.
Yeah.
And she comes along with them. So the whole...
And she does her Betty Davis corniness. It's kind of cool. Her intense acting.
I love her character.
Yeah.
Yes, the acting in this, but like I said, it was the 70s. Like, sometimes the acting is very stagey. I think we talked about this a little bit when we reviewed The Hand.
It's still enjoyable, though.
But yeah, there's something really charming about that that you can't really replicate, like, in movies nowadays.
And then you got Burgess Meredith.
Burgess Meredith is in it, too.
Yeah, he plays a gay guy in a wheelchair.
I guess he's supposed to be gay. He's very Paul Lynde-like.
Yeah, he was flaming.
But he's in it very briefly, so he's in it, too. I remember the kid that was in it. God, I've seen that kid before, and you know what I was trying to think where I've seen that kid? I can't remember his name, but I think he was in the fucking... when they did it on Mystery Science Theater. It was like a pilot. San Francisco International.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that this is the same kid that tried to fly the airplane and they had to like talk him down and stuff like that. It's very funny. If you're into MST and you haven't seen that episode, San Francisco International, it was really funny. Oh, and also let me mention before I forget that... Burnt Offerings was directed by Dan Curtis, who actually prior to this was mostly known for TV, most famously for Dark Shadows, and he also directed the very infamous Trilogy of Terror, which also starred Karen Black in multiple roles, but, the most memorable one obviously was the one with the little Zuni doll or whatever it was called that came after her, so I thought I would mention that there. So in some ways, Burnt Offerings... I've seen it criticized as being kind of like TV movie-like, like in the way it's shot and stuff like that. But I don't know. I still think that's kind of a bullshit criticism because I still think this movie is awesome. But anyway, so the whole entire premise of the movie is that Oliver Reed and Karen Black and the kid and Betty Davis are, you know, a family. They're the Rolfe family.
Yeah, extended family, yeah.
And they are renting a summer house.
Yeah.
And
looks like a big old plantation house.
Yeah. So they've answered this ad that these people have put in. We're renting this summer house. It's very reasonable, the ad says.
Yeah.
But I don't think they put the price in there because they didn't seem to know what it was when they got there.
Yeah, right. Later on they tell them, though.
Yeah. So they get to this house and they can't believe it. Like, this house is gigantic.
Yeah.
And this is an actual, I think it's called Dunsmere House or something like that. It's in Oakland, California, where they filmed it.
Right.
So it's like a really big...
It looks like somewhere outside Savannah, Georgia.
It really does. It looks like an old plantation house.
Yeah, it looks like pre-war plantation house. But it is.
With the big columns and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't think it is a plantation, though.
Yeah. So they get there and they can't believe it. They're like, there's no way this can't be the house that they're renting for a reasonable
price. It looks like a monument.
Yeah. And so they're like, well, they must be a catch or it must be the guest house or something like that. So they go in and they meet this brother and sister, Burgess Meredith, who's in a wheelchair, and his sister. They are the Allardyces. And they're like, yeah, we want to rent this house to, quote unquote, the right people.
Yeah.
And you guys can have it for $900 for the whole summer.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the only thing they have to do is take care of their mom, who's upstairs.
Right. Because at first...
There's all these feeding instructions.
They don't tell them that at first, but Oliver Reed is, at first, he's kind of like, this is too good to be true and shit like that. And then he's like, what's the catch? And then they kind of get pissy, but they're like, oh, well, okay, there is a catch.
Yeah.
It's like, we have a mom, Mrs. Allardyce, and she's 85.
Right.
And she can't leave the house because she's in too poor health. She's just upstairs in her room.
Yeah.
She'll never come out. You'll never see her.
Just got to leave her a tray of food three times a day.
Three times a day. Just take a tray out in her sitting room and everything will be fine. You probably won't see her. It's fine. So at this point, Oliver Reed's like, thank you, bye. And like they leave. But Karen Black,
she's like, you insane? This place is awesome, man.
Yeah. I mean, because you can tell as soon as Karen Black like walked into the house.
Yeah.
Her name's Marion in the movie. As soon as she walked into the house, she was like in love with the place.
Yeah. Now it's not perfect when you see it.
It's a little rundown.
There's some shittiness to the house. I mean, the decor isn't great. A lot of the vegetation's dead. Some of the carpeting and stuff looks pretty run down. I mean,
yeah, like the wallpaper's kind of peeling. Yeah. I mean, it's still beautiful, but you can tell it needs work.
Yeah, you can tell it had been neglected. And Burgess Meredith was like, oh, don't worry about the place. You'll see, it takes care of itself.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything, really.
Which,
you know?
Red flag.
Yeah, red flag. But it's a cool flick. I think we should talk about parts of it. It's going to go down, I think, along the lines of, like, legacy and the evil.
Yeah.
Where a lot of modern audiences probably have never heard of this movie or seen it. It is worth watching. And I think we should tease the movie, but I don't think we should do too many spoilers on this one. Kind of like what we did on Legacy. Yeah. Because we
can kind of tap dance.
Some of our regulars went back and watched it and go, oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
I'm going to say, though, like I said, for younger viewers or people who have ADD or something like that, not judging.
70s horror is a
I have heard this say, people say this is very slow.
Yeah.
It seems like nothing's happening. It's not kind of like a standard haunted house kind of thing where there's ghosts and shit like that. You don't see a lot of stuff. And like I said, in that way, it's kind of like Haunting of Hill House, where you don't really see anything and you're not really sure.
Well,
like,
you kind of see, you see stuff, they just don't really point it out, remember?
They don't,
in the background, some of the things that
I'm saying
happening.
They don't, like, you don't see ghosts, you know, like the fucking walls aren't blinking or anything like that. There's nothing like
There's no apparitions
in it. It's very low-key.
There's no
low-key.
No apparitions in it, but a bunch of paranormal stuff happens.
Yeah.
And weird visions and stuff. You'll see. It's pretty cool.
But, you know, so it kind of transpires that, you know, they get left there. Karen Black starts getting obsessed with, like, cleaning the house up. You know, she starts doing her duty and, like, leaving the food for the lady and everything like that. But obviously, shit's getting weirder and weirder. A lot of conflict starts developing between, you know, the married couple and everything like that. And then you kind of see the house sort of changing.
Yeah, it gets better.
Yeah. So,
and their behavior starts to get affected and weird stuff happens. And, you know, based on my personal experience, this Hollywood would never make a movie like this nowadays. There'd be a bunch of CG in it. They'd really fucking blow it. All right. In my experience, this is more like what real paranormal is, as it looks. It looks and feels more like this than it does a modern Hollywood horror movie.
Well, to me, and like I said, and I might have mentioned this on another one, but I do feel like a lot of newer horror movies, at least independent horror movies, seem to be like doing sort of a throwback thing to like the 70s and 80s movies, where they're not really showing a lot, where everything is done by like implication or mood and things like that. And to me, that is so much creepier.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm going to use here's an example I'm going to use. I mentioned earlier, The Haunting of Hill House, which actually was written by Shirley Jackson in the 60s, or in 1959, rather, and is probably my favorite haunted house novel ever. It is an amazing novel, and you should read it if you haven't. But they made a movie of it in 1963, and it stuck very close to the book in that it showed essentially nothing, but was one of the creepiest movies I've ever seen. Just everything was subtle and implied, and everything was just the way things were shot and the lighting and everything like that, and it's really scary, but they don't show anything.
Right.
Now, in 1999, they remade it, and it was just looked like all of CGI had thrown up all over it.
Yeah.
There was ghosts everywhere. Yeah. There was a spider bed. There were faces coming out of the wall and shit like that. It was retarded, and I'm just like, why? The whole scariness of the original movie was that you weren't sure. You didn't know. They didn't show anything.
Right.
It's like it could have been a haunting. It could have been her psychological shit. It could have been all this stuff. But in this one, it was just so obvious that that's what it was. And it was stupid. It looked so stupid.
Yeah, for me, the CGI doesn't really work with horror.
Not really.
No.
It's like, it can be done, but you just rein that shit in and rein it in.
It's got to just kind of enhance certain scenes, but not necessarily.
And I think that that's one of the best things about Burnt Offerings is that they don't really show, like, you know something supernatural is going on.
Yeah.
But it's not super in the forefront. Like, you kind of have to pay attention to little things that are going on.
It is kind of like The Shining.
Very like The Shining. Right.
Is a masterpiece, of course. It's a lot more intense. But this is like, if you like The Shining, you'd like this one.
Yeah, it's a similar kind of theme. Yeah. And like I said, I think Stephen King was inspired by this as well as Haunting of Hill House. When he was writing The Shining, he wanted to write something along that line. I should also note, one of the creepiest things about this movie is that chauffeur.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I remember him when I was a kid, and they used him in that trailer, and that guy scared the hell out of me when he rolled that damn...
The window of
he rolled
the coffin.
The coffin at that guy. You just, when you see the movie, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and like
you see it now, and you go, well, "That's not really a big deal." But back in the day, when you were a kid, you're like, "What the fuck?" You know what I mean? That dude had a coffin. He's coming at you with a coffin, man.
Well, the creepiest thing about him was that
Don't know who he is. Or
you don't really, like, a lot of it isn't explained.
No.
Because the chauffeur kind of only turns up because evidently Oliver Reed, and they don't really explain a lot of his backstory. A lot of it's just kind of implication. Yeah. You just kind of have to fill it in.
I had to see this movie a couple times, I think, really to sort it all out. Yeah.
Like, he has evidently had recurring nightmares about this chauffeur. He's very... I mean, he doesn't have any makeup on or anything like that. Like, you know, he doesn't look like a monster.
He's just tall and skinny, man.
But he's super tall and lanky, and he has these dark glasses. You can't see his eyes.
Yeah.
And he has, like, this really, really creepy smile.
Yeah, he kind of serves as kind of like the Grim Reaper in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. And so Oliver Reed has been having...
Kind of reminds me of the guy from Phantasm.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Oh, and you know, it's funny you should mention that, because the house where Burnt Offerings was filmed is the same house that served as the mortuary in the first Phantasm.
Okay.
So, woo, segue.
You're right. All right.
And I'm glad you said that, because I would have forgot to mention it otherwise. So this chauffeur has been appearing in his dream, and we're led to believe that this chauffeur was at his mother's funeral, and he keeps having, like, recurring nightmares with him. We don't know if that's what the dude really looked like, or if this is just, you know, him, like, reflecting back on his past self, and that's, like, freaking him out because that was a traumatic...
Or is the house manifesting itself this way?
Yeah. Because it is implied that he had had nightmares about that guy before, and then they went away, and then when he started living in this house, they came back.
Right. And what you end up finding out, basically, just, you know, I'm not gonna give it all away. As you suffer, as the people in the house suffer, the house gets stronger.
Right.
And it starts to kind of rebuild itself, or you think it does. It's really hard to tell, because some things are only seen through a certain character's eyes.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'll see it when you get to that part. You know, you're like, did that really happen, or... is that person just having a vision? You don't know.
Yeah.
I want to see the movie again.
It's a good one to watch several times, because like I said, there's a lot of little bitty details.
First time I saw it was a long time ago. I remember liking it, but I didn't remember much about the movie. And then you showed it to me again a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's good. It's pretty good. But I wasn't able to pick up on all of it. You know what I mean? And part of the problem was that we were watching DVD.
Yeah, we don't have the Blu-ray of this yet,
the DVD transfer is not the audio great. Is not that good.
The audio mix is very muddy.
Right.
A lot of times the background music, and the score is great.
Oh, yeah,
but the background music is mixed very high, and the dialogue is mixed very low. So you can't really hear what they're saying sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes you
it's
know
very
that,
muddled.
You know that a person that one of the characters said something important. You're like, wait, what'd they say?
Yeah, you had to like back it up
But I've evidently the Blu-ray is a lot cleaner.
Yeah,
and I would like to get the Blu-ray and put it right alongside the Legacy Blu-ray.
Yeah, we can put all our 70s haunted house movies.
Because 70s horror is kind of like it's an acquired taste, but. We grew up on it, so we love it. You know,
I'm always kind of curious, though, if people that didn't grow up on it get that same... Because some people do. I mean, I have heard, like, even younger people that were not even born then...
Saying that the old stuff was
saying that the old stuff was better, or that they liked it better. So it maybe isn't just an age thing. Like, I always thought maybe it was just because that's what I grew up with, that's what I saw when I was a kid, so that's what made the biggest impact.
I think from that era, the one that would mess me up the most, and we'll do a show on this one, too, but I want to get a DVD or a Blu-ray copy. I don't think there's a Blu-ray. It was The Tenant. Roman Polanski.
That movie
will fuck you
and
up.
Roman Polanski as a person sucks.
Yeah, he's
a bad
guy.
But his movies are awesome.
And when you put him in a horror movie with this character, just the creepiness is just...
The Tenant is super creepy.
This guy's such a scumbag, you know?
And you, yeah, and I, it's on my list, and I really want to do this one. And Repulsion is fucking good, too. I mean, Rosemary's Baby, we probably won't do, because I love that movie, but, you know, everybody knows that one. Yeah. But The Tenant and Repulsion, I think, are a little bit less seen, but I like those better.
Yeah.
So, I definitely want to do The Tenant, that's for sure.
Yeah, The Tenant's very disoriented.
Yeah.
That one really disturbed me as a kid.
Yeah, I wrote a big, long blog post about a couple of the scenes, and it freaked me out.
I would think
like The Tooth. Ah!
I would think the millennials and Generation Y, Generation Z, they would trip out on The Tenant.
Yeah, it's
the
pretty,
Tenant's very disoriented.
It's pretty freaky.
You're not sure what's real and what isn't in that.
Yeah. It's weird because very recently, and I know we're kind of going off tangent, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Very recently, I saw another horror movie. I think it was from 2008 or 2009, I want to say. And I think it was called Occupant. And it was obviously based on The Tenant, or it was inspired by The Tenant. It wasn't a remake, but it was like a similar kind of premise. And it was actually very good. It had that same like disorienting, like kind of surrealistic kind of, and I love surrealism and horror. When it's done well, it disturbs me more than anything else, which is why I love David Lynch movies so much. But yeah, I recommend it if you like The Tenant, if you've seen it, then look out. I don't know. It used to be on Hulu. I don't think it's on Netflix, though. But it's called Occupant, and it's really good. But I was going to say about Burnt Offerings when you were saying about the first time you'd seen it. I distinctly remember the first time I saw this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was in junior high school, and my friend Tanya invited a bunch of us over to her house for a slumber party. Now, her parents were very, very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the town that I grew up in, she lived in a huge, huge house, like on the street where all the quote unquote rich people lived.
Yeah.
And these were all,
you know, rich people.
These weren't like the new rich people houses. These were like old. These were like all the old houses from the early 1900s. And so their house, and I'm, you know, my broke ass, it's like when I was a kid, I grew up in a trailer park, you know what I mean? So I'm like a little white trash girl, and I'm going into this house, and I just like could not believe it. I had only seen houses like this in the movies, right? Like I walk in, and there's no shit. There was a marble staircase, like one of the big sweeping marble staircase with the wrought iron fucking handrails. There's a big chandelier.
Yeah.
You go upstairs and there's like all these little like halls and rooms and like servant stairs.
So like just like
the
movie,
kitchen.
Just like the
yeah. Yeah. So it happened that at this slumber party, we had rented a whole bunch of horror movies. Like we had pizza and shit like that. So we go into this like little maze of the house and we go into this little back room where there was a little sofa and there was a little attached bathroom with a claw footed tub and all this other kind of shit. And we put this movie on.
Right.
We're sitting there with our little blankies and snacks and everything. Like we were probably 12, 13 years old. And as soon as that fucking chauffeur shows up, everybody noped the fuck out of the room.
Yeah.
Like, they either jumped under the covers, they ran in the bathroom, like, no, we're out of here.
He is an eerie figure in the movie.
Because, I mean, the house we were in looked a lot like the house that was in the movie. And we just like, we were like, no, we're not having it. So everybody just kind of scattered. And then there was a large debate, if I remember, over whether we should watch the rest of it or not. I actually don't remember if we watched the rest of it because we were all pretty freaked out.
All right. Yeah. So it's a good movie. I recommend it.
It really is. If you are into 70s horror, which probably a lot of you people are, and if you're especially into haunted house movies from that era, which is probably my favorite subgenre of horror, and you haven't seen it, then you should definitely check it out. It's like a great cast.
And remember, you got to pay close attention to it.
It's like, you know, it's just little things. They don't really spell everything out for you. Like
you
got to
look in the background quite a bit.
But it's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one that I try to recommend to people if they've only seen, you know, the heavyweight kind of movies from that era. It's kind of one that's a little bit overlooked, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's underrated.
Yeah, it is. So that'll do it for our first movie review of 2018. Please remember to check out our Patreon page or our PayPal if you would like to support the show.
Yeah.
And be sure to check out our regular episodes that come out every Tuesday. And we will see you next time. Bye.